Okay, Yasha Koach. There happened to be a few dinim that remain at the end of Simen Shin Ayin Hey, but just for lack of time, I don't think we'll go into them. Particularly the halacha about if someone is nifter after davening Ma'ariv, but while it's still daytime. So when Avelos begins in that situation is, of course, a very big topic. Just a lima zechus on me for not doing it now is because we did it already in Hilchos Nida. So those of you who were not in the shir for Hilchos Nida should, I guess, talk to some of the guys who were there. But it's pretty straightforward at the end of Shin Ayin Hey in the Shulchan Aruch with the Shach Sivkot Yadalad. Okay. Simin Shin Ayin Vav. There are dinim of Nichum Avelim. And the Gemara says that the menachamim are not allowed to, in a menachamim rishon leftoach, ad sheyiftach ovel tchila. That the menachamim cannot begin to offer their words of consolation until the ovel first says something. And the Ramban in the Sefer Torah HaAdam writes that the ovel should begin by reciting Baruch Dayan HaEmes, and then the menachamim should pipe in, and the menachamim should begin to offer their words of consolation. But until the Avel says anything, so it's usher for the menachamim to talk. When Rav Meir Twersky was sitting Shiva, so Rabbi Twersky is not the world's most loquacious person, and oftentimes he didn't say anything, and like you could be in the Beis HaAvel, and he wasn't talking, and people weren't talking to him, and it was just like the last din in this mechaber, or kevan shneyaneh ha'avel berosho, when the avel makes a motion with his head that he's saying he's being poter the menachamim, so the menachamim can no longer stay. They can't over. It's usher for them to stay. It sounds like in the mishnah and leishiv etzlo, they have to leave, and that's what would happen. He would make his he'd bob his head, not his head, and then people would know to leave. Rav Chaim Cohen points out in the Badei HaShulchan that even if the Avel doesn't nod his head, but it's clear that he doesn't want you there anymore, so then obviously you have to leave. That's the din. The reason why the Avel can't say goodbye is because it's an Isser of She'elas Shalom, no? And because of the Isser of She'elas Shalom, he can't say goodbye, so that's why the Avel just nods his head and then the Menachemim leave. Now, this din that the Menachemim are not allowed to say anything, actually Yiftach Avel Tchila, Reb Chaim Cohen is an interesting taina, which is that this halacha comes up now basically by regular Nichum Avelim, which sounds like it's the Nichum Avelim that takes place at home. We know, however, that there's also Nichum Avelim in the Beis HaKavaros, right after the Kavura. So if there are 10 people present, so they're omdim all of Beshura. There are many halachos of the Shura. The Shura is a din that's found in the Gemara. Ein Shur Pchusamei Asara, that you need 10 men. There's a whole discussion today in many different communities. Some people have the practice only the man stand for Shura. Others have the practice of their 10 men. Even the women stand for Shura. Reb Chaim Cohen sounds like he's not so into this practice of the women standing for Shura at all. But there are different practices. Medina de Gemara, it sound like that the Menachemim would be in the Shura, and they would move, right? The Menachemim would move, and the Ovel would stay stationary. The practice today is that you form two lines, and the Ovel walks between those two lines. So the Ovel is in motion, and the Menachemim stay stationary. Just one point, and I'll take a question, but the fact is we don't see that before the Nichum Avelim of Shura, that the Ovel gives permission. Right, after Stimas HaGoylo, Avelos begins. And then we begin the Nichum Avelim of the Shura. We never see that the Avel gives permission. And this Lechora is something that I think is interesting. I was just thinking about it this morning, that perhaps there's a mahalach to be said here to the effect of that maybe there is Dinim of Nichum Avelim on the Yachid, and there's also Dinim of Nichum Avelim on the Tzibor. The fact that there's Ein Shura Pchusa Me Asara B'nei Adam, and they have to be B'nei Chorin, etc., like a regular Minyan, that's Koveya Tzibur. In other words, that there's a special halacha that a person, a Yachid, has a mitzvah of Nichum Avelim, And there's also a mitzvah of nichum aveilim for the tzibur. It could be that for the yachid, I need rishus to approach him. That I, as an individual, I can't approach the avail until he gives me permission. But maybe there's a certain cult of the tzibur that the nechum of the tzibur would be accepted. Again, the idea of ein ha menachem im rashon leftoach might be, we'll talk about this a little bit more in this, it might be because the nechama might not be accepted. I have no right to give nechama to a person if he doesn't want it. But the nechama of the tzibur perhaps is going to be accepted at all times, and maybe that's why, again, this is just what I was thinking, maybe that's why there is no din that the other has to give permission before the nechama of the tzibur. Ephraim, you had a comment? So if the avil is a woman, does she go through the shura? So again, in the Badei HaShulchan, he goes through all the dinim. The practice in many communities is that the women also go through the shura if there's a man going through. If it's only a woman avela, the practice in, I think, most communities is that they don't make a shura. But many of these things are tali and minhagim. Again, if you look in the Badei HaShulchan, I forgot which Sif Katan, he just goes through all of the dinim of shura, right towards the beginning of Shinayin Vav, yeah.
Is there a law that the woman shouldn't go between two men?
So, Reb Shlomo, one of his tshuvas in the Mincha Shlomo, writes that, yeah, the Gemara has such a thing, but Lamaisa, that applied in the time and place that women didn't walk in public. That's like, the Gemara says, Hacholech, Achar, Ha'isha, B'shuk, is terrible things happened to him. Manoach was a Ma'aretz because he followed a woman, right? Vayelachman, that was a Haftarah like. Last week, Bahalos after Rav Naso. The Gemara says bad things about being holy chachar isha, but says Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach in the Tshuva that it no longer applies bizmanenu because we have women who are holy b'shuk all the time. So Mameila, if you're not going to walk behind a woman, behind this woman, you'll be behind that woman. It's not. So today also the same thing, going between two men, the chaora is the same thing. If you look in that Tshuva in the Mincha Shlomo, he points this out. That's beyond my knowledge. I don't know. Okay. So the avail has to be poiseach before the menachamim can talk. That's a basic halacha. The Levush writes the reason is because we're worried that maybe the avail is not mitzta'er al meso. Sometimes you have an avail who doesn't feel bad about the loss, for whatever the personal family relationship, whatever the reason is, the other is not mitzdar al meso, and therefore I can't give nechama. Alternatively, it could be the opposite way. Sometimes you have a situation that the other is so mitzta'er al meso that the other is not able to accept nechama. Right? There is a minhag in certain communities not to go be menachem avel toch gimel yomim harishonim. Now, gimel yomim in this situation means the day of the kfura is one, and the next day, and then by the third morning, you shouldn't go right away. Now, this is a minhag in many communities. This minhag is against the Gemara. The Gemara in the context of hanochas tefillin for an avel, that talks about whether there are other people present, and it's a din of yom rishon, it sounds like there is nechama on yom rishon. But it could be that, and Reb Fivel Cohen points this out, it could be that it was a later minhag that developed. A later minhag developed not to be menachem avel the first 3 days of avelos. The cheshbon for that is similar to the second mahalach that we're saying. That toch gimel yomim, the Gemara says that gimel yomim is lebechi. The first 3 days of avelos, the person is crying. That means a person is inconsolable. Person is inconsolable. And just like we know from the din of Aninos, that we're not Menachem, a Menachem, B'shoshem Meso Mutal Lefonov, that you can't be Menachem a person when the person is inconsolable. So don't try, don't waste your breath. Right? So that could also be a pshat in this din as to why we are not Menachem, Ad Sheyiftach Aveil Tchila. Another mahalach that we could say, and I'll take a question in a second, another mahalach that we could say is that Ein Menachem Ad Sheyiftach Aveil Tchila It's just because very practical. I think someone showed me a YouTube video about this, like stupid things that people say at shivas, right? There is something out there called YouTube, right? So stupid things that people say. People say very dumb things at shiva. Now, it's not a modern invention that people say stupid things at shiva. The Gemara in Bava Kamma tells stories about someone goes to a shiva and basically he says, what could be done? Right? And that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. That's considered giduf. You're not allowed to say that type of statement. Right? It happens that the Gemara says the next statement, which sounds even dumber. After this one Amor said, Ma Yisloch Lemevad, which sounds like it's giduf. Right? So the other Amor came and he said, well, obviously your child died because your child had no redeeming qualities. Right? Now, the Maharshal and the Yamshel Shlomo basically argues on Shulchan Aruch. Right? Shulchan Aruch says not to say the first type of nichum, the type of nichum of what could be done, because Shulchan Aruch assumes that's giduf. Right? Giduf means that, like, if I'd be able to do it, I could do it. So, like, what do you mean? Like, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is for the good, etc. That's why it's considered giduf in Shulchan Aruch. But the Maharshal, that's quoted by the Taz, says, you know what? L'maisa, the first statement is a good statement, that's what David HaMelech did, and the second statement in the Gemara, that's an awful statement. But Yehei Masha Yehei, we all know that people say very stupid things during Nichum Aveilam. So some suggest that the reason, this is what Dr. Wolowelski has in that little pamphlet that the OU put out, that the reason why Ein HaMenachmim Yecholun Leftoach Ad SheYiftach HaAvel Tchila is to give the Menachmim a chance to think about it. Think before you open your mouth. Don't say something dumb. Right? You know, like the guy in the YouTube video, have some guy about, like, oh, you're wearing Crocs, you know, you must have had some special hetter because of what Yosef asked it. Whatever the lines over there are. But don't say something stupid. Right? That's the basic yesod of why you can't begin to talk until the Avos speaks. Yeah, you had a question? And Nachman, right? And by Bigachon, the din is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. By Nichum Avim, it's not quoted. But the fact is, by Nichum Avim, the Beferish Gemara is Fakeret. The Gemara says that there is Nichum the first couple of days. People are there when the Avos wearing tefillin. That's the
right,
kasha.
The question is that everyone, meaning it, you know.
And so it could be that maybe there's only some Krovim. In other words, what you want to suggest is that Krovim can be Menachem the first couple of days. Perhaps. It's not clear. The pashtus that you get from a few different Gemaras is that there's no chiluk between the type of people, and everyone would be menachem right away, but maybe it was a later minhag that developed. The fact is, though, lemaisa, many people are not zahir in this din of not speaking before the avel talks, no? Many people go to be menachem avel, and they come in, and they start talking about sports or about whatever, and that lecha'ora would seem to be wrong. Reb Feivel Cohen, though, in the Sefer has a yishuv for what the heter is, that people talk before the avel indicates that's permitted. He wants to say that the heter is that maybe once the avel shows some indication that he's ready for nechama at any point, that's matarit forevermore. This reason is mistaber according to the first mahalchim that we said, which are the mahalchim of the Lavush. In other words, if the pshat is that I can't be menachem avel because the avel is not at all sad, so once the avel indicates that he is sad, then everyone further can be menachem. Or if I can't be menachem because the avel is too sad, once the avel indicates at some point that he's not so sad, maybe everyone else can be menachem in the future. Again, this is assuming that the emotions don't change. My experience with people sitting shiva is that the emotions change tremendously. That at one point, like, avelim are in one place, and then a few men say they could be in a completely different place. This mahalach that he's saying that once the avel shows he's ready to accept nechama, it's mutter forevermore, is assuming that those emotions will stay constant, which I'm not sure is correct. Fine. Yeah.
Just to clarify, the second mahalach is also lavush.
The second Mahalech is Reb Feivel Cohen's Ha'ara based on the Lavush. The Lavush says maybe he's not ready for Nechama. Why not? Right? So the pashtus in the Levush is he's not ready for Nechama because he's happy. It could be he's not ready for Nechama because he's too sad. Also, the Pavikon wants to say that he thinks that that's a pashtus in certain psukim in Eov. Okay, whatever it is. It's a Pavikon based on the Levush. It's not the Levush himself. Good. There is a discussion in Poskim about to be Menachem Avel, do you have to say the Nusach? What is Nichum Avelam? Right, so most assume the Chofetz Chaim writes in Avas Chesed, the mitzvah Nichum Avelam is lahafig tzaro. In other words, that the Avel feels terrible, you want to take away some of the tzaro of the Avel. Many of the Poskim say that the best way to be Menachem Avel is just by telling stories about the Nifter. You talk about the Nifter, you talk about the meaning that the Nifter had on your life or how the Nifter impacted on you. That's mafik the tsa'ar of the Avelim. That lechor is the pashtus in the mitzvah of Nichum Avelim. To say this expression of Hamakom Yenachem Eschem seems almost not to, it doesn't really fit in. What's this expression? HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be Menachem you. Like, it sounds like I'm not saying anything, it sounds like a tefillah. No? In fact, there's some poskim, they quote from Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach in Eitan Schnall's notes. He quotes that Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach felt that you should answer Amen. And the Avel should answer Amen after they say Hamokim Nachem Eschem. The idea is because it's a tefillah. Right? It's a tefillah that you're davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if I'm davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's not really a form of Nichum. How's it? Reb Moshe Feinstein is quoted by Reb Aaron Felder in this book on page 101 that Rav Moshe said that Yudavka should not answer Amen. The reason not to answer Amen is because Amen is affirming your statement. In other words, Amen is saying, this is how it is. This is how I want it to be. Right? L'chore, the Avel doesn't want to be an Avel. So Rav Moshe felt that you should not answer Amen. But Yehei Mashiehei, the pashtus is, Hamokhi Nachem Eschem is a tefillah. And the Prisha in Simin Shin Sadi Gimel, Os Gimel, says that L'mayis HaMokom Yenachem Eschem is not a kiyum of Nichum Avelam. The kiyum of Nichum, it's a nice thing to say, it's a tefillah, but it's not how you mekayim the mitzvah of Nichum Avelam. The kiyum of the mitzvah of Nichum Avelam, says the Prisha, is done with silence even. Just by being there, that shows the Nichum Avelam. Dr. Wolowski explains this very nicely in the Sefer, that L'mayisah, what is there to say? In many cases, there's nothing to say. All I could say is that, imo nochi b'tzara, I could say that, listen, I'm here for you. The fact that I'm present, the fact that I walk into the door of your house, that indicates that I'm there for you. So I don't have to say anything. It could be that you're mekayim nichum avelam just with that. Reb Chaim Vakum wants to say that L'mayisah, HaMokhi Yenachem is a tefillah. It is a tefillah. But the fact that I'm davening for you, that itself is mafig your tzaradet. He wants to say that the reason why we use this as, now by the way, Sfaradim don't say Hamokim Menachem. No, Sfaradim use Lashon Titznachamu min Hashemayim. I think that's the official Sfaradi text. But it's the same type of idea. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should console you. But L'maisa, it's a tefillah, that's the pashtus. But it could be that the tefillah accomplishes some sort of nechama because the other realizes that there are people who are there with him. There is a bit of a discussion in Poskim. The Gesher HaChaim writes, if there's a single Avel, you should change the Nusach. You should say, HaMokhi Nachem Oscha V'soch Shavah Litzim. If you look at the Breuer's charts that they have in Breuer's Shiva Homes, it says Oscha or Eschem, right? Based on whether it's a single Avel or not a single Avel. Others had, Reb Moshe Feinstein also, Shai Shechter gave me something he got from Rav Mordechai Tendler's son-in-law, that when Rav Moshe Feinstein lost his sister, it is I think a year before Rav Moshe's nifter. Rav Moshe was already very weak, so they heard that Rav Moshe's sister was nifter. They decided to take Rav Moshe to Muncie, to Rabbi Tendler's house, to have Rav Moshe sit shiva over there, and they had the doctors present when they told Rav Moshe, etc. So when Rav Moshe lost his sister, so they wrote down, the family wrote down some of Rav Moshe's hanhagas when he was sitting shiva at that time. And Rav Moshe mentioned to people, Rav Moshe was the only one sitting shiva in that house, he mentioned to people they should say HaMokhi Nachem Oscha, they shouldn't say Eschem, because there was no other Avelim there. The practice though of saying Eschem, even to a single Avel, which I think is mainstream, that practice is based on the fact that the Gemara writes in Shabbos on Daf Kuf Nun Beis that nafsho shel adam misabelas alav. No, that after the misa, so the person's neshama is misabel on the fact that the guf, the person's neshama is misabel on the fact that the guf has left. Nafsho shel adam misabelas alav. So l'cha'ora, what that means is that you should say amokhi nachim eschem, even if there's a single avel sitting shiva, because I'm being menachim the person, and I'm being menachim the neshama of the nifter that's also there. That could be the pshat in saying kamoka yinachim eschem to many different people. Yeah.
I assume it would be the same if it's only women, or one woman.
Yeah, I mean, I think by the yekis they say osach and eschem, and they have like, you know. It's like Rosh Hashanah. It's like Rosh Hashanah night. You know, all of the conjugations of the Shana. Right.
But isn't that also the nifter? Nifter's also woman and
the I mean, that's a shah. Is the neshama male or female? This is constant. I don't know. This is, but I think the standard practice of saying eschem is because we assume that the neshama is also there. Now it's interesting that some poskim say that in the din of shnios that we mentioned last week, that these relatives are also misabel a bit. So when one of the shnios is menachem, the real avel, the shnia, the sheni, whatever, should say hamokon yinachem osi v'eschem, right? That you should include yourself. In other words, you see that there's no inyan of not changing the nusach. Rav Moshe, when he was saying shiva at that time for his sister, he called his nephews who were sitting shiva wherever. His sister, wherever they were sitting shiva, he called them and he said over the phone, "Hamokhi Yinachem Osi Ve'eschem," or something, or however he did it, he said it over the phone, because there's no inyan of not changing the nusach. Similarly, Rav Moshe writes in that same place that if a person is Menachem Avil to his Rebbe, so maybe you should change the nusach to the third person, no? And say, "Hamokhi Yinachem Es Mori Ve'Rabbi," or something like that, because it's not respectful to say do. You know, it's not respectful to say you, right? You should say it in the third person. Again, it's an interesting suggestion. I don't think that's mainstream at all. I think the mainstream is that we always say Hamokim Nachim Eschem. I think that's pretty standard. Now, this din that you... that the nechama is not only going for the avel who's sitting shiva, but it's also going for the neshama of the nifter, also has some relevance for what we discussed way back when at the end of Simin Shin Lamed Hey. In other words, the Rambam paskins that nichum avelim is kodem for bikur cholam. If I have an opportunity to be menachem avel, to be mevaker cholam, zok the Rambam, I should be menachem avel. Why? What's the cheshen? Because nichum avelim, says the Rambam, is chesed im hachayim ve'im hamesim. Bikur cholam is only with the chayim. Now, obviously, the Shach points out over there that we're talking about a situation that the bikur cholam isn't a pekuach nefesh type of bikur cholam. Right? Remember, bikur cholam is also an opportunity to keep a person alive. If it's a pekuach nefesh bikur cholam, a vada that trumps everything. But if it's not a bikur, if it's not pekuach nefesh situation, so zok the Rambam, that nichum avelim is kodem, because the same idea that I'm being menachem the neshama of the nifter as well. I'm being menachem the neshama of the nifter. So therefore, I say that bikur cholam is chesed for the chayim and the mesim. If you look in Igris Moshe and Chelak Dalet of Arachayim Simon Mem in his tshuva about whether your yotze nichum avelim ayude the telephone, Rav Moshe assumes that it's some sort of kiyum, but it's not the full-fledged kiyum. It's some sort of kiyum because you're menachem the chayim, zok Rav Moshe, but it's not a full kiyum because in terms of being menachem the mesim, to be menachem the neshama, you have to be present. That's what he assumes. It's an interesting idea. We mentioned last time that Rav Hutner, in the Igros Uksavim, Rav Hutner has this idea that maybe you are not yotze nichum avelim al yidei the telephone, because nichum avelim, he assumes, requires a mesiba. The din is a ha'avel is mesiv barosh, that we give special cover to the avel to sit in the front. So if it requires mesiba, that means everybody has to be present. That's Rav Futner's assumption. Again, most assume that there is some sort of kiyum of general gemilas chesed if you're menachem of aide the telephone, but it might not be the specific kiyum of nichum aveilam. The Rambam writes that nichum aveilam is a mitzvah d'oraisa of gemilas chesed, perek yudal of evel halacha aleph, but it's also a specific mitzvah d'rabbanan of nichum aveilam. Again, this all comes together in terms of sometimes you have one kiyum without the other. Let me hear from David, then from Ephraim.
Is it possible that the Rambam's name is not inside a nechama of the Nishama, but as a cover of the Nes, meaning you are accomplishing two things, but not necessarily.
I mean, the Rambam sounds like it's chesed, with, right, is covered, showing covered for the mace, that's chesed for the, maybe, I mean, again, it certainly is possible. I do have this Gemara that says Beferish that Nafsho Sha'adam is Misabelos Olav. So once I have it, it's a Nesh Tikkul Torah. Yeah, that's right. The concept of Masiba basically means that the Avel is supposed to sit in the front of the room and everyone surrounds the Avel. So that means that there's a forum that's required. There's a group setting that's required. Everyone has to be there. So if I'm over the phone, so I'm not getting that union of Masiba. I'm just transporting myself in, but I'm not present, and you don't have this union of Avel being Masiv Barosh. It's a Gemara, yeah, the Gemara says that should be done. Lamaisa, yeah, it's probably improper to have an Avel, you have to arrange the room, that the Avel's sitting, in the front of the room, and the people surrounding him. L'chora, it's not quoted in Shulchan Aruch, if that's what you're asking. But it might be the basis of a din that we'll talk about in a minute. Okay? Let's talk about that din that we said we'll talk about in a minute. The Ramah, the end of Shin Ayin Vav, Sif Aleph. Ein Avel Ochol Achayov in Lamaid Afil Mipnei Nasi. An Avel sitting Shiva, if a big Talmud Chacham comes in, so the Avel doesn't stand up, right? Afil Mipnei Nasi, even, right? We said earlier that Nasi might mean Gadol Hadar, right? Because we don't have Nasi Sanhedrin anymore. But even a Gadol Hadar comes in, the Avel who's sitting Shiva doesn't have to stand up. You get an impression that if the Avel wants to stand up, he can. It's just that the Avel is not chayiv lamod. Again, the Badei HaShulchan has this diuk. Now, what's the reason why the Avel should not stand up or isn't obligated to stand up? There are two different reasons that are given. Maybe we'll add four different versions of how you count over here. The Levush says it's because the Avel is torod. The Avel is very busy with other stuff, so therefore he doesn't have to stand up. Now that reason, L'chayr, is very hard to understand, because you know that an Avel is chayiv b'chol mitzvah hamuris b'torah. So why would just because he's torod, why should that exempt him from the mitzvah of standing up for a Talmud Chacham? So some understand that what it means, and this is what the Sefer Beis Yehuda says, that the pshat in the Levush is, that what the Levush means by being Torud is that therefore they're mochel on the Avel. Since he's Torud, he's so fatracht, he's so bothered, so people say, you know what, we're mochel on you. We're mochel on you. Okay. Another reason though, if you look in the Gilyan Maharsha here, he quotes both reasons, is the tshuva of the Shvus Yaakov says that it's not kima shel hider. Now just like a person is sitting in the restroom, and the Talmud Chacham comes in, you don't have to stand up, because that standing up doesn't show any covet, right? That's not kima sheish bo hider. So also, when an avel is ma'olo ba'afar karano, an avel who's so downtrodden, so low, he stands up, that's not showing any hider. That's the reason that the Shvus Yaakov gives. L'cha ora, there are two nafgaminas between these reasons. No? One nafgamina would be, what about Tisha B'Av? Tisha B'Av, right, you have a situation, Tisha B'Av in the morning. Tisha B'Av in the afternoon already, the Avelus diminishes. But Tisha B'Av in the morning, so everyone, even the Menachem who comes, is also an Avel, no? So I'm not going to be Meichel to you. I'm also, right? So if it's Alts Mechila, L'chora on Tisha B'Av, there would be an inyan to stand up. If a Talmud Chacham comes into the room on Tisha B'Av, he'd be mechiv to stand up according to the Levush's reason. But according to the Shvus Yaakov's reason, Tisha B'Av in the morning, when Maisa, you're sitting on the ground, our practice, that din is not mentioned in the Gemara, no? The Gemara says that only by Seuda Hamafsekes do you have to sit on the ground. No? Tisha B'Av in the morning, the fact that we sit on the ground, Shteit Nishtin Gemara, if you'll look in Yaakov Gartner's work about the Aveilei Tzil, he has in one of his books about Minhagim, he has an essay about the Aveilei Tzil, and that's probably historically when the Minhag developed, that people sit on the ground Tisha B'Av morning, also not wearing tefillin on Tisha B'Av, right? That's also Shteit Nishtin Gemara. No? There's a few of our Nihuge Avelos and Tisha B'Av which are not based on the Gemara, but okay, Zilzain, whatever it is. But according to the Shvus Yaakov, the reason why you don't stand up as an Avel is because it's not Kima Sheyesh Bo Hider. If it's not Kima Sheyesh Bo Hider, that would mean that on Tisha B'Av also, it's not Kima Sheyesh Bo Hider. So therefore, there's no chiyuv to stand up. So according to Lavush's reason, you would be obligated to stand up on Tisha B'Av morning, but according to the Shvus Yaakov's reason, you would not be obligated to stand up. Similarly, let's say a Sefer Torah comes in. Is the Avel Mechuyev to rise because there's a Sefer Torah in the room? If it's out, the Lavush's reason, as understood by the Beis Yehuda, based on Mechila, because you're Torah, so we're Meichel, so the Sefer Torah isn't Meichel on you, so you have to stand up. But if it's based on the Shvus Yaakov's reason of Ma'olel Ba'afar Karno, the reason of the Shvus Yaakov that you are downtrodden, depressed, etc., so then L'cha'ora, there's no inyan to stand up even for a Sefer Torah, because it's not Kima Sheyesh Bo Hider. Right, so these issues should come into play in terms of those two nafgaminos of Tisha B'Av and a Sefer Torah. Yeah.
A
Talmud Chacham is allowed to be mochel. Torah Dilehu. Yeah, Melech can't be mochel. If a Melech comes in, it's different. But even a Nasi, even the Gadol Hadar is allowed to be mochel. That's the halacha. Now, how do we paskin between these two reasons? So, unclear. There is a tshuva in the Yabia Omer, Chilek, Gimel, Simen, I forgot if it's Chav Zayin or Lamed Zayin. It's the last Simen in Yerideya in Chilek Gimel of the Yabia Omer. So Chacham Avadi Yosef doesn't like the Shvus Yaakov's reason of Ma'ola Ba'ofer Karno. He says that reason, the Ma'ola Ba'ofer Karno, is used by the poskim in terms of Avo being potter from Tefillin Yom Rishon. That's only Yom Rishon. Over here, the din of not standing up is all of Avelos. So therefore, Chacham Avadia doesn't like that reason. There's an interesting story over there that Chacham Avadia went to be Menachem Avot with somebody, and the guy stood up, and Chacham Avadia was telling him that, you know, you shouldn't have stood up, and then they were clearing and said, us to stand up or not. There's like a whole story over there. But that's the tshuva in the Yabia Omer. The issue of Mesiba, though, what? It's Chav Zayin? Oh, thank you. The issue of Mechila is the issue, excuse me, of the Avel not standing up could be because of the other din as well. In Sif Beis of Shulchan Aruch, it says that usually if someone wants to stand up and I tell them don't, so when I say sit, sit. To an Avel, I don't say sit. Why not? Because it's some sort of Iser Baal Yiftach Pivu Satan. Right? I shouldn't say sit because that would imply Shev Ba'avelos Shulcha. Right, and the Gemara has other dinim, has other dinim of al yiftach pivu satan, the person shouldn't say, I didn't suffer as much as I should have, even though it's true. A nice, for your averus, you should have ish becheta al yumasu. It really should have been that you suffer even more than you suffer for your averus, but you shouldn't say that because al yiftach pivu satan, there are other dinim. Over here. Some say, Reb Chaim Vakon, the Badei HaShulchan explains that the practice of a child not saying Kaddish when the parents are alive is also based on this idea of a Yiftach Pivu Satan. You get the impression that Yiftach Pivu Satan applies even when I'm impacting on others, not only when I'm impacting on myself. Right? Shev Ba'Velos Didcha, etc. You get an impression that's going even on others. And in the Biurim, the Sefer Badei HaShulchan, he points out that the Makar of the Gemara of Ayiftach Pivu Satam, Kistom Hayinu Lamora Diminu, Shemu Dvar Hashem Kitsine Stom, right? Because I said, we're like Stom, so therefore the Navi responds, oh, you're like Stom, Taka. So that's going on yourself, right? It's not going on others. But Yehei Mashi Yehei, these are some of the dinim of Ayiftach Adam Pivu Satam. These are some of the halachos that come up.
Where is it again?
What?
Where is it again?
That's a Gemara in Ksubis. and Daf Ches. So, yeah. That's in Sif Beis, La Halacha, it's quoted. The issue of not saying Kaddish and your parents are alive comes up in Sif Dalet. Right, now, right, if you'll look in the Bi'urim, in the Badei HaShulchan, he tries to connect this idea of an Avel not standing up to what we discussed earlier, that the Avel is Mesev Barosh. The Avel Mesev Barosh, some Achrayim understand, means that we treat the Avel like he's a Melech, that you give him all the kavod possible, you treat him like a Melech, and the Melech doesn't have to stand up for others. That's the cheshbon that they have. Is that true? Melech doesn't have to stand up for others? Right? Eglon Melech Moav stood up for, and he heard Dvar Hashem. The pashtus is that it was like a maila of Eglon, because he was, even though he was a goy, he still did the Iker Hadin. But you get the pashtus that a Melech also has chiyuvim to stand up. Well, that's only maybe for Dvar Hashem. I know, Yesh Lefalpa, is this true, that a Melech doesn't have to stand up if the Gadol Hador walks in? I've never dealt with this shaila. I never met a Melech in my life. Whatever. These are some of the issues. Fine. Let's do Se'if Dalet in... Se'if Gimon Shulchan Aruch mentions a mace who doesn't have Aveilim, so 10 people come and they sit there. You get an impression from this din that you need to have Menachamim and Aveilim, right? If there's no possibility of Nechama, you can... They have to go together, so we try to create a situation that there are Menachamim. So in order to orchestrate that situation, we have fake Aveilim for this mace who doesn't have any relatives. We mentioned earlier when the Lubavitcher Rebbe died and when Rabbi Winevsky was Nifter. I think we mentioned some of the points about this din and Sif Gimel and some of the differences between the way the Rambam quotes the Halacha, that the same people are supposed to sit there all 7 days, and the way the Halacha appears in Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, which says that you could get other people to join, or the Ramah says that you should just have people there at davening times. I think we mentioned some of these differences already. So if Dalet, Sif Dalet, Achar Shenigmas Stimas HaGolol, right, or la achash hafa ha avel ponim in hames. So then avelus begins. Merchikin meat mi beis hakevaros ve omrim kaddish dehu asid lechadeta alma. So you separate a bit, and then you say this special kaddish, the kaddish that we only say at a siyum on the mesechta and at stimas hagolal. Right, this kaddish of kashda asid lechadeta alma. Our text is le'ischadeta, but the text in the Mechaber is le'chadeta alma, referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not that the world will be renewed, but that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will renew it. Okay, fine. Yehei mashi yehei. We are marchik dalet amos, and then we say the Kaddish. Why am I marchik dalet amos? Because I'm not allowed to ein omrim b'fnei hames ela devarav shomes. You're only allowed to say in the presence of a mace things which are going to help the mace himself. And apparently Kaddish is not one of these things. So that's why the Mechaber assumes that you have to be marchik to recite Kaddish. The minhag today is that they're not marchik before they recite Kaddish. The minhag today is that you recite Kaddish actually at the grave site itself. It happens that my predecessor, Rabbi Schneidman, the way he did Levayas is that he always said, like, right after the Kavura, like, everyone should move over to the road. That's the way we've been doing it, which basically means that you're not within Dalet Amos of the Mace. But Reb Feivel Cohen in the Badei HaShulchan says that the Minig in many places is that they say the Kaddish within the Dalet Amos. Now, why is that? L'chore, that's against the din in the din that's here in the Mechaber. It's against Shulchan Aruch. So there are two suggestions. The Nitzib suggests that maybe it's not really in the presence of a mace, because today we bury people very deep. If you bury a person very, very deep, so the mace, right, 6 feet under, right? That's the expression. You bury a person very deep, so the mace, you're not really b'fnei a mace. It's like the mace is in a different reshus. Just like the Tazites in Hilchos Sefer Torah, the Me'ikar Adin, when the Aron Kodesh is open, you don't have to stand up, because it's in a different reshus. It's 10 tfachim, separated. So also, you don't have to be marking from the mace. It's like in a different rishos because there's this separation. Others, the Mavar Yabok is quoted, that the Kaddish really is what people think Kaddish is, no? Most people in the Welt, they say, what's Kaddish? Kaddish is a prayer for the dead, no? And then at some point during their Avelos, they're hit by this Einfall and it bothers them. What do you mean? It doesn't say the word dead anywhere in Kaddish. Why am I praising God? Like, what's going on here? No? This is like a kasha that many Avelim have at some point. But people think, right, the Welt sucked, that Kaddish is a prayer for the dead. Well, the Maver Yabok says that. The Maver Yabok says that Kaddish is like the Varv Shomeis. Right? So therefore, you're allowed to say Kaddish in the presence of the mace itself, which is what the Pitgam Amami, that's what people say. Fine. So you recite the Kaddish, and then Achakach Tolshin Afar, Tolshin Asavim, Mashlichim Achagavim, Rechtsim Yideim B'mayim. Afterwards, you pick up some dirt, some grass, and you wash your hands. Again, this is either reenacting an Egla Arufa ceremony. We're saying that you should need Efer and Ezev and Mayim to become Tahar. That's like a Paraduma type of ceremony. Or this is somehow representative of Tchias HaMesim, that there are psukim that say that the grass will regrow, and that sounds like the neshama will come back. But these are practices many people, I don't think it says this in the Artsko Madrich. I don't think the Artsko Madrich has this, but it really should be done. There's also something else that's missing over here that should be done, called Siddiq HaDin, no? Siddiq HaDin is not quoted in Shulchan Aruch over here. Siddiq HaDin comes up later on Shulchan Aruch, you can send in Tuf Aleph or something. It doesn't come up over here, right? L'cha'ore, you have to do Siddiq HaDin. Now, for the Mechaber, it's Nishta Zoy Shver, why it doesn't quote Siddiq HaDin? Because the Mechaber says that you say Siddiq HaDin in Simen Shid Lamites, Omim Shid Lamites Sif Gimel, Omim Siddiq HaDin Im Yitzias Neshama. They say Siddiq HaDin B'Shas Yitzias Neshama. So therefore the Mechaber doesn't have Siddiq HaDin, Mechaber doesn't have Siddiq HaDin over here, but L'chor, there should be some sort of Siddiq HaDin. Do you have to be Markik Dalar Amos for Siddiq HaDin? Siddiq HaDin is the recitation of certain psukim. Do you have to be Marchik Dal Amos or Tzidik HaDin? So again, if the Nitziv is correct, that the reason we're not Marchik by Kaddish is because it's not Bifnei HaMeis, because the Meis is in a different area, you don't have to be Marchik for Tzidik HaDin either. But if the Maver Yabok is correct, so I would say that Kaddish maybe is a prayer for the dead. But Tzidik HaDin L'cha'ora is not adding Zechuyos for the, right, Tzidik HaDin is me reaffirming my emuna, right? The other reaffirming his emuna after, so that's the din of Tzidik HaDin. So l'chorah for Tzidik HaDin, you really should have to be marchik according to the Maver Yabok's reason. Fine. The Ramah has dinim of sitting down, Yoshin Zayim Pa'amim, Mipnei Haruchos, some say Gimel Pa'amim. The practice in most places is that they don't sit each time, but on the way to the kavura, they stop the Aron 7 times. Ki malocha v'yitzav eloch l'shmarcha b'chol d'rachecha. There are 7 words in that pasuk. You stop 7 times on the way to the kavura. Some have 3 times, etc. These dinim of moshavos and ma'amados are found in the Gemara, but these are all taliyim and minhagim, and in many places they no longer have these minhagim. It says in the Ramah, Nimtza b'midrashos, to say Kaddish on an Av, right? And then the Ramah says, Al kenohagu for Av ve'im, you say Kaddish for 12 months. Later on, he says, we only say the Kaddish for 11 months, because Mishpat Rishon b'Gehenim is Yud Beis Chodesh, and the person doesn't want to say that his parent is at Russia. So therefore, we say Kaddish for 11 months, not for 12 months. Nimso b'midrashos, the source is probably that story of Maisa de Rabbi Akiva. Maisa de Rabbi Akiva is quoted many different places about Rabbi Akiva meets a fellow and he's all black-faced and soot, and he asks, like, what's going on? Like, if you're a poor man, then you have to work so hard, so I'll pay you. Right? Why? And if you're an Eved, I'll buy you out. Like, what's pshat? Why are you working so hard? Why are you suffering to this extent? So the guy said, Well, I used to be, I don't know, an IRS agent or somebody. He was like chopping people for the government, and the people who he would chop who had money, he would just take their money, and the people who didn't have money, he would kill them. So, and this was his Avera, and because he did this bad Avera, so that's why he's suffering so much. Basically, this guy's like a ghost, Ke'ilo. It's a dead body who Rebbe Akiva is seeing. So they ask, is there anything that could be done? So he said, well, if the son will say, Yehesh Me Rabban, people will answer after the son, so that will free me Medina Shel Gehenim. So they went looking for the son. Rebbe Akiva finds the son in a different community. The son, Mamish, was never even gemalt. The son is Azorvite from Yiddishkeit. He never even had a bris milah. Rebbe Akiva circumcises him, teaches him enough Torah. He gets up and he says, Baruch Hu, Yehesh Me Rabba. Everybody answers, and then the neshama of the father left this terrible situation where he's getting the sticks every day and they're burning him and his face is black, and left that whole situation. That's a story of reciting Kaddish that is where it comes from. The Chassam Sofer points out that you see from the Mice of Rebbe Akiva that the yesod of saying Kaddish is that people should answer to you. That's really the zechus that comes from saying Kaddish, that you're being mezakeh people and doing mitzvahs. You're being mezakeh people and praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. People say Yehesh Me Rabba, right? So that's a zechus for the parent. That's what the Chassam Sofer says. Therefore, the Chassam Sofer prefers the minhag of Breuers and in the Telzer Yeshiva also that only one person should say Kaddish. The tshuva of the Divrei Igeres is quoted here in, and that's by the way, the minhag of the Ramah. The Ramah has all these complicated discussions, and the Shach and the Taz get even more complicated about how you divide up Kadeshim between various Avelim, etc. I'm sure in the Kehillah they have many elaborate rules about this, about how they divide up Kadeshim. But the Divrei Igeres says that the practice is that everybody says Kaddish together. There was once a Magefa, apparently. I've forgotten the time of Rebbe Akiva Eger or something. It was in Magefa, and because there were so many Avelim and people would never have an opportunity to say Kaddish, that's why then they instituted saying Kaddish by all the Avelim together. But L'cha'ora, if the inyan of saying Kaddish is that everyone should answer that person, I'm being mezakeh them, so that should mean that one person saying Kaddish is being mezakeh them. If everyone's saying together, which one is being mezakeh? So Reb Chaim Kohn wants to say, well, maybe the one who gets there first, and everyone answers, but that l'chora creates problems, and everyone's going to be rushing to get first, and it'll sound terrible. It'll be a cacophonous Kaddish recitation. So therefore, he prefers the minhag. Reb Shechter does this, no? Reb Shechter, when he was in Avelos, would only say Kaddish if no one else is saying Kaddish. Because that's the older minhag, that's the preferable minhag that Rav Shechter assumes. Yeah, there was a question?
Who suggested that?
Huh?
Who suggested that Rav Shechter?
Who suggested it?
That you shouldn't say? No.
Rav Shechter doesn't say.
Huh? Did you quote that for Shemtim?
I remember that Rav Shechter didn't say. I don't know.
Now,
Reb Chaim Kohn is quoting that it's preferable. He quoted the Chassam Sofer that it's preferable that only one person should say Kaddish. Yeah.
It sounds like it's certain Rebbe Akiva that they look for his son. So therefore, if one person saying Kaddish, how does that mezaka people that weren't who he was?
So apparently, the person gets some sort of zechus when he answers Amen. There's some sort by answering Amen Yehesh Rabba. It's also some sort of zechus. It's not as much of a zechus as saying Kaddish, but just like davening for the Amud, can only be done by one person, right? So, by the way, no one, in my parents' shul, I remember, growing up, so they used to make different minyanim sometimes. They'd break the minyan apart so that various, if you have like a few people have yartzeit and avei, right? They still do this in Shari?
I guess sometimes, not so much. I mean,
Minchamarev,
which is one minyan.
Minchamarev is one minyan. I remember that Marev Matzah Shabbos, there used to be a few different minyanim. And they would have some guy davening in the coat room, and it was always like finished 15 minutes before the regular minyan, and everyone was davening in the coat room. It was like very exciting. So you get an impression from Shulchan Aruch not to do that, no? You get an impression from Shulchan Aruch that we have rules and regulations about who davens in the Amud, who says Kaddish. No one is saying, okay, you have 20 people, send over here and send over there, and chop a rein. You get an impression that's not proper, that Berav Am Hajas Melech would trump whatever milah there is. Remember, the main milah to be mezaka a parent is by doing mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim. That you mezaka a parent to through your own mitzvahs. So maybe your tefillah with a larger minyan is also mezaka. That's what they quote. I heard Rav Shechter say this when he was in Avelos, that maybe the mitzvah of gemilas chesed, of allowing someone else to daven for the omer instead of him, maybe that's going to be the zchus for his parent.
The story that I read, Rishon Salanter, like this,
yeah.
A guy who was saying God for his daughter, and Rishon Salanter had the zchus, but he let him do it and said that should be the zchus for his parent.
Right. So the point is that we don't fully understand how these things work, but fundamentally, the yisod is that by doing mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim, be mezaka others to do mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim, that's what helps in the neshama. Yeah, quickly. There's a few more things to say. Because the Gemara in Brachos says that ein omer b'fnei ames el dvarav shel meis, that's considered lo eg l'rash, it's considered insult. A meis, remember, can't do meisim chafshim. Meisim can't do mitzvahs. So it's an insult to the meis if I'm doing a mitzvah in the presence of the meis, so therefore you should be marchik. Move 4 amos away, and then you could do mitzvahs. There is a discussion. The Taz at the end of Sifkat and Dalet says that an onain is pater from mitzvah. So an onain obviously doesn't say kaddish. If someone is an onain on Shabbos or on Yontiv, when you're not pater from mitzvahs, so the Taz says that the onain does say kaddish because tekef la'achar misa there is amiras kaddish because kaddish has nothing to do with avelos. Even though avelos did not begin yet, still you could say kaddish. That's what the Taz says. And then the Kudas HaKesef, the Shach in the Kudas HaKesef disagrees. He says that no, that Kaddish is coming to be poda your parent from Gehenim. And before Kavura, the parent isn't in Gehenim yet. So therefore you should not say Kaddish before the Kavura. That's what the Shach said. Rav Soloveitchik felt that the minhag, it's called a nefesh harav, page Reish Mem Zayin, the Rav felt that the minhag is like the shach, that an onain on Shabbos and Yom Tov does not say Kaddish. And there's a shtikl stiros, Rav Shechter points out the nefesh harav, because the Rav would paskin that Avelim, let's say they send the body to Eretz Yisrael, so the Avelos is maschil when they turn around from the body, when they say goodbye to the body, that's when the Avelos is maschil. So the Rav would say in those situations, you do say Kaddish even though it's before Kavura. Right? L'chora, according to the Shach's reason, that Gehenim begins from Kavura, so there should be no Kaddish then also. And Rav Shechter just writes Tzarechiyon, that's his Kasha in the Nefesh Harav. The Five Kohen in the Badei HaShochem points out the Chachmas Adam, though, assumes that Me'ikar Hadin, the other reason. He passes like the Taz, Me'ikar Hadin, that a Onein on Shabbos does say Kaddish, against what the Rav said. Why? I, L'choyre, the Shach is right. Kaddish is coming to be pulled from Gehenim, and there's no Gehenim before Kavura. So the answer is that there's many other Onshim in this world besides Gehenim. Right? And there are many other onshim that occur to the nifter before you get to Gehenim. What these things are is already the heebie-jeebie world. I'm a little too young to understand it yet, so I can't comment. But apparently there are many onshim before Gehenim, and that is going to be salvaged by reciting the Kaddish. There is a discussion in the Piskei Tshuva that the Chavos Yair says, if someone dies and doesn't have any sons, and the person said that the daughter should say Kaddish, so Zak to the Pischei Tshuva, Midina, she could say Kaddish. Digam bebas, yesh to'elas, and nachas ruach. In other words, whatever is accomplished by the son saying Kaddish, that Ma'isa of Rebbe Akiva, is accomplished with the daughter also. Nevertheless, yesh locho sha'al yedeze, yischal shu koach ha'min hogim shal Yisrael, that there's going to be a weakening of the minhagim, and therefore the daughter should not say Kaddish. The Knesset Yecheskel, is quoted in the Shari Tshuva Narechaim, says that a daughter can say Kaddish in her own minyan at home. Apparently the concern of being machlish koyach ha-minhagim was in shul more than at home. Others say, the Mata Ephraim is quoted by the Badei HaShulchan, that a daughter should not say Kaddish at all, because the Gemara in Sota says that if a woman, Zamri Noshi V'ani Gavri, if a woman sings and then the men respond, so that's Ke'esh Ben Ures, right? That's a terrible issue of Pritzos, that's a terrible thing, so therefore it shouldn't be done. So Reb Faivel Cohen concludes that women should not say Kaddish at all. The Knesset Yecheskel only said women could say Kaddish at home, not to say Kaddish in Shul. Maybe the issue over there was that in Shul there's a concern that they'd be stealing Kaddish from others. It's not clear. There were, however, Gedolei Yisrael. I think it's in modern Orthodox communities today, it's somewhat standard that women do say Kaddish, no? So in some modern Orthodox, okay, I'll go on record. In my community, women do say Kaddish, and we can talk about this right now. Where does this come from? So there were Gedolei Yisrael who supported this idea. Rav Henkin, in the Tshuvas Ivra, I think on page 15, so Rav Henkin says that a woman can say Kaddish. Rav Henkin says a woman should only say Kaddish if there is a man saying Kaddish as well. Rav Henkin also writes that even though the minhag in Europe was that a woman would walk into the men's section to recite Kaddish, but this should not be done because we don't want women going into the men's section, so a woman should say Kaddish in the women's section together with a man. That's Rav Henkin is of the opinion. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik in this sefer, Od Yisrael Yosef ben Yichai, Rav Aaron lost a grandson. He also quoted, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik also said that women can say Kaddish. You don't get the impression Davka with a man from Rav Aaron's presentation. He says that women can say Kaddish. His cheshbin is as follows. This is something that there is a classical discussion in Poskim whether women could do or not. If you're going to tell women that they can't do this thing, this almost one thing that many Poskim say women can do, so they might go and they'll become conservative or reform. So therefore, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, here in the Sefer Og Yisrael Yosef ben Yichai, he says, Nira achshav shekama anoshim benoshim Yisrael lochamim ba'ad shivui nashim l'umas ha'anoshim. Today that there is a huge fight of equality. So biyachasim aliyos b'shvil nashim, right? People want women to get aliyos. And kamen harabanim hacharedim yimanu isha milomar kaddish b'mokom sheyeshna efsharus shayideze tisra behahashba'a shaharabanim hashamranim v'hareformim. It's a very funny word for conservative, because in the shamranim, like in the conservative in the lower case sense. So asur limnoa bas milom kaddish. That's Rav Aaron's conclusion. That's Rav Aaron Soloveitchik's conclusion. It's forbidden to stop a daughter from saying kaddish. There are different reports that Rav Soloveitchik, Rav Ezra Bick reported, and Rav Dr. Joel Wololowski, he wrote an article in Tradition about this. They also said, and this woman in my show, Sarah Rieger, her grandfather was Reb Simcha Zelig Rieger, the Dayan in Brisk, and she says that there's a Masorah in the family that women should say Kaddish, and that's Rav Soloveitchik. There's a Masorah by the Brisker family, that's where the Rav got it from. Rabbi Tversky told me never heard of this, but the fact is, the fact is there are traditions that Rav Soloveitchik also said that it's acceptable for women to say Kaddish. Now, Rav Shlomo Warman, in one of his essays, he has a taina. He says, in order to say Kaddish, you have to be Mitzuref to the Tzibor. Right? In Orech Chaim, in Simin Nun Gimel, Nun Hey, I forgot already, Simin Nun Gimel, it says that you can't say Kaddish unless you have a minion present. And if I have a minion over here and the person wants to say Kaddish in a different room, you can't say Kaddish. So how could a woman say Kaddish? Now, Rav Schechter says that he heard from his father that the practice in Europe used to be that women would walk into the men's section to say Kaddish to solve that problem. There's a line in the Tshuva Nigris Motion, Chelek Hei, also, where he sounds like women would walk into the men's section to recite Kaddish. Dr. Wololowski quotes from Reb Zelig Prague, who is the 12th grade Rebbe in Yeshiva Flatbush, that Reb Zelig Prague was the Rav of the Mirror, is the Rav of the Mirror Minyan in Flatbush, and the Alter Mirror in that Minyan told Rabbi Prague that this was the Minig that they recall in Litta. So there were such Minhagim. I remember telling this to someone in the community who then asked Diane Posen about it, and Diane Posen said, go back and tell Rabbi Schwartz, not in my Europe. That was the line. The fact is that I think there were minhagim in certain communities, at least, that women would say Kaddish going into the men's section. Rabbi Warman has a tie enough that if a woman's going to stay in the Ezra's Nashon to say Kaddish, she's not Mitzuref to the Tzibor, so you don't have a minyan and you can't say Kaddish in the absence of a minyan. Rav Shechter is an interesting mahalach to deal with this issue. Rav Shechter says, I'm not fully sure of his lumdis behind this. He says that there's a difference between a permanent mechitza and a temporary mechitza. In other words, like in my shul downstairs, I have these little movable mechitzas, but upstairs we have a real mechitza. So Rav Shechter feels that with the temporary mechitza, so you could say it's like a mechitza in terms of the men and women not davening together, but it's not a mechitza that they're in the same reshus, and therefore the woman is allowed to say Kaddish. That's Rav Shechter's cheshbin. It requires more thought to fully understand this, but the issue of women saying Kaddish, just to... I think it's evident that if this issue comes up and a woman wants to say Kaddish, lamaisa, you have to treat it with a lot of sensitivity. Because, remember, we're dealing with someone who just lost a relative. Obviously, the person is in an emotional state. And usually, this is also an opportunity, just like, you know, even Leon Wieseltier in his book Kaddish had some Hirhurei Tshuva that came about through the saying of Kaddish. It can be an opportunity to bring people into shul on a regular basis, and coming to shul can only be good things. And if you're going to tell a person not to do it, that could, A, hurt the person, and also you're losing a tremendous opportunity for growth in ruchnius. So it is something that has to be weighed very carefully. Obviously, classical poskim on the page frown upon the practice, but some of the later Sfarim, some of the later poskim in the more modern time, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, Rav Henkin, they quote Rav Chaim Oizer also, that he supported women saying Kaddish. So obviously these are things to take into account and to and to take seriously. Any questions? Yes.
What would be the reason why that women aren't saying Kaddish? Why would people say that women shouldn't say Kaddish?
Why do they say women shouldn't say Kaddish? Again, we mentioned a few reasons that she's not mitzvah to the tzibur. It's going to be machlish koach haminhagim. It's going to potentially be an issue of zamri noshiv anigavi. She'll try to be mesume kala. She'll try to say it with a sweet voice and people will respond to her. So that's ka'esh bin ores. There are many reasons not to say Kaddish. Yeah.
The classical poskim answering it assuming, like they do in Shul, that one person is saying, standing next to...
Yeah, so that's what Dr. Wolowelski contends. In his article about women in Kaddish, he said that all the classical poskim are talking about a situation where only one person says Kaddish, but once you have a tzibur that everyone says Kaddish, so then you could have a woman join also. That's his argument. I didn't see much indication for that, but it's a swara. It's something to say. Yeah.
Two questions. What if there is only a woman, although you talk about it, saying Kaddish?
Yeah, so in my shul, we don't allow that. If there's a woman who's going to say Kaddish, I know, even though Rav Shechter told me he didn't understand why we would do this, but I think it's mainstream in many of the shuls where women say Kaddish that, to do what Rav Henkin says, Rabbi Brander told me this also, that we pay somebody to always say Kaddish at all the minyanim, so that if a woman shows up to say Kaddish, she won't be the only one saying it. Right, so if you assume a woman can say Kaddish, I think then she should say, because Lamaisa, only good things come from saying Kaddish, that you bring someone closer to Yahados. It's only a positive development. If you hold that it's mutter, so then I think you should do it. Yeah, Ariel? Yeah, so l'cha'ira, for the Kaddish to have a to'elus, it has to be that people are answering after you. Right? That's clear in the Ma'aseh of Akiva. So you should say it right. So the idea of a man or a woman, whoever says Kaddish, to say it in a low voice that no one could hear them, that's not saying Kaddish. That would be assuming it's like some prayer for the dead. But if the inyan is that people should respond...
if you have a woman who's saying Kaddish, even if it's loud, but only women are hearing her, is that...
Then you're saying Kaddish without a minyan.
Right.
In other words, I could justify them saying it with a minyan if 10 men hear.
Right.
I tell the women in my shul when they say Kaddish that they should say it loud so 10 men can hear them. Yeah?
Isn't there a problem that many of the men down in the women's section here if they're not part of the Tzibur?
Yeah, so if you hold, in yeshiva generally you have 10 men standing upstairs. That's a very complicated shaya about chatzur katanish and nifritzei legadol, and at what point you are mitzurf to the minyan, you're not mitzurf to the minyan. It seems to be a discussion between the Aruch HaShulchan and the other poskim. The Aruch HaShulchan has a line in Aruch Chaim and Simin Nun Gimon, and hey, wherever the mitzurf of minyan imply that maybe the only time that when you're in the Ezos Nashin you're not mitzurf to the minyan is if the Ezos Nashin goes all the way up to the ceiling. But the Ezos Nashin doesn't go to the ceiling, the Aruch HaShulchan assumes that you are mitzurf to the minyan. All of this has to be factored in to what we said before from Rabbi Warman, from Rabbi Warman, yeah. Yeah.
Is there a reason why she should only say Kaddish end, or should she say Kaddish
end? Only at the end? Yeah. I don't know. Now, just one other ha'ara about this issue about being mitzurif to a minyan to say Kaddish. Shulchan Aruch writes that the Kaddish Basra, which means Kaddish after Aleinu, it makes more sense if you daven Nusach Sfard, that it's called Kaddish Basra. If you daven Nusach Ashkenaz and you say the Shir Shoyom after Aleinu, it's hard to understand the Lashon of Kaddish Basra. But Kaddish Basra was reserved for the Ketanim, right? Now, a Ketan is also not mitzurf to Minyan L'chayra. So that's a Kasha. That's a Kasha, if we assume...
He's saying it in the presence of a Minyan, though.
He's saying it in the presence, so just like a woman can say in the presence of me, the cutting can say, but if I hold there's like a halachic obstacle to be mitzurf to minyan, I'm only mitzurf to the minyan if I could count to the minyan. You're right. According to those... What?
Who says that? That's not what Warman's saying. Warman's saying it's because
Rabbi Warman's saying because I'm in a different place, but there are those who go a step further. I should have pointed out and say that a woman by definition can't be mitzurf to minyan, even if she walk into Ezra's notion. Since she can't count for a minyan, she can't be mitzurf to the minyan. So then I have a taina on the katan then also. So obviously, right, maybe the minhag that was done in, maybe not Rabbi Posen's Europe, but other parts of Europe, that women would walk into men's section and say Kaddish, l'chora should be logora from a katan. There's a discussion in the Maharik about a grandchild saying Kaddish for a grandparent, no? There's a shayla that comes up every now and then, that the parent is not fully religious, or the parent is not b'chayim. Well, if the parent is not b'chayim, it's not a problem, because then the child could say Kaddish. But is there a kiyum of the child saying Kaddish instead of the grandparent? This comes up in the Pesachei Tshuva here also. Sif Katan Zion, I think. The Pesachei Tshuva here, he discusses that a grandchild saying Kaddish. So this is totally in the general issue of kibbutz for a grandparent and grandchild. The Rambam assumes that there is kibbutz for a grandchild, that there was that there's kibbutz v'aim for grandparents. The Maharik assumes that there's no kibbutz v'aim for grandparents. That's relevant for this discussion here as well. In terms of being mechalek the kadeshim in those communities where they don't, so the grandchild obviously gets less kadeshim than the person who's in avelos for the parent. There is a discussion about children saying kaddish when the parent is alive. The question is, do you assume? There are different lashonos in mefarshim. The Mishnah Berurah sounds like that it's assumed that a parent is not makbid unless you know that the parent is makbid. The impression that you get here from your Deya, I think, is a little differently, that the assumption is that they are makbid until you know otherwise. So that's another discussion in terms of Kaddish. Yeah?
You mentioned before about paying someone. What sort of a kiyum is
there? So the idea of paying somebody could be that by paying them, so we assume that Yad Poel's ki Yad Bal Habayis, and it's Ki'ilu that the child itself is doing. That's why some of the poskim say, Bedavka, that you should pay. Shouldn't just say, be my Shaliach, because maybe this is something that's not subject to Shlichus, but to pay somebody, it's not just that the Shul should earn a few extra bucks, by paying someone to say Kaddish, it becomes Yad Poel ki Yad Bal Habayis, so it's Ki'ilu the child is saying Kaddish. Then there's a discussion in the Achrayim. If that's true, that's clearly the child is saying Kaddish, so maybe the child should be Mechalek in Kaddish, and the same then the paid person, the Shamus and Shol, let's say, should be Mechalek in Kaddish, the same as the person, the child, who's not saying Kaddish would be. Again, I think in most cases, paying someone to say Kaddish, you want to encourage someone to come to shul to say Kaddish themselves. As much as, even when I have like an ovel on my shul who's not fully religious, but I encourage them to come to shul and say Kaddish for the full year, because I think it very often is something that's machzor them to do tshuva. Tshuva through giving tzedakah, I think, is a less effective form of tshuva than, again, there's some element of tshuva. I'm getting tzedakah to the shul and someone's saying Kaddish, but, and there's some zechus for the nifter that way also. But the real zechus for nifter is by doing mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim. If a child will come to shul for a full year of avelos, so l'maisa, the child will be chozer b'tshuva in a more likely sort of way. We don't say Kaddish for 12 months, we say Kaddish for 11 months. If you know that the parent is a Rasha, so you say Kaddish for a full 12 months. That's quoted here in the Pischei Tshuva in Sifkatin Tes. That's what the Chassam Sofer said in his discussion of the Ma'abir Atzmo L'Da'as. The Chassam Sofer said, Lo Natzi Lehu Miredes Shachas, that you should say Kaddish for him, but you say Kaddish for 12 months in that situation. You don't say Kaddish for 11 months. I had an aunt who passed away. She wasn't religious at all. She left a lot of money for the yeshiva, which is good, but she wasn't religious. So my aunt passed away, so she actually was cremated. Oh, shine. So the shadow was about saying Kaddish. So Rav Schechter said, hey, we could bury the cremated ashes for him. That's a whole other discussion that maybe we'll have a different time. But he said that you should say Kaddish for a full 12 months because the person was not shor mitzvahs at all. In these situations, we say Kaddish for a full 12 months. There's a discussion if you hire someone to say Kaddish, so should that hired hand say Kaddish for 12 months? It's not an insult to the parent. Because the person's not saying Kaddish for his own parent, many assume that's an insult to the parent in the sense that the child who is hiring the person is insulting the parent if the child says, say Kaddish for 12 months, and therefore in those situations also, you should say Kaddish for 11 months. There's another din that you say Kaddish on the Yahrzeit, and on the Yahrzeit also it says in Shulchan Aruch that the practice is to fast. Just FYI, in the Badi HaShulchan, for some reason, he paskins if you have a suffix yartzeit. For example, someone dies during Bein HaShmashos. So, Rabbi Avakon quotes in the Chassam Sefer that you should not fast on both days. So you should say Kaddish on both days, you should learn Mishnayos on both days. So it says fasting on both days, if it will stare your learning of Torah or something, you should not fast on both days, you should only fast on one of the days. I haven't said Rav Moshe Feinstein in the Tshuva, Rav Feivel is Mitzayin in that Tshuva, it's in Chelek Gimel somewhere, and Rav Schechter in the Sefer Be'ikve Hatzon, they both nem on that you should keep the Yahrzeit in these situations as being the second day, not the first day, because there's a Cheskas Chayim beforehand. There's a suffix when the person died, Bein HaShemashas, let's say, suffix. So how do I paskin out the suffix? I paskin the suffix by assuming that there's a cheskes chayim. They shtel tzu that there is a comment of the nekudas hakesef in the Shin Sadi Tes. Right. I don't remember exactly where. And the nekudas hakesef says this line. Nekudas hakesef is not exactly talking about a bein hashmasha suffix, but Schechter is assuming that's the same type of situation, and therefore you would keep the yartzeit as being the latter day, not the earlier day. In Rav Schechter's piece in the Be'ikvei Hatzon called Be'kfiyas Yom HaYartzeit, that's where he discusses this. Yeah. You got a comment? Okay. Thank you very much for coming. Amir Tzashem, I'd like to continue tomorrow, because we're going to try to make an end run and try to finish Bokos HaVeilos. Thank you for coming.